Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to another hour of Sports Daily. We've got some interviews coming up for you in this hour. We will get more on the Rashi Rice situation. We'll get you ready for a weekend of baseball. It's all on tap. What's on tap? Brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, locations East, West, and Historic Delano. Featuring a rooftop deck, Wichita Brewing Company. It's pizza and beer made here. Tommy, let's talk a little golf.
Man, I'm excited. Looking forward to have Eric Johnson here on the program with us on this Friday. Eric, we had you on during the Wichita Open. We figured, you know what? You know quite a bit about golf, or at least you act like you know a lot about golf. I figured it'd be a good idea to bring you in maybe weekly here for a while to talk about the world of golf, not only in Wichita, but across the world, because we've got the Open Championship going on right now. Welcome into the show, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, so we're good. Open Championship golf going on right now. We're in round number two. The lefty, Brian Harman, making a run. The past Open Champion.
He had to say lefty.
I'm a lefty. Come on. Yeah, I'm a lefty. So he's taking the lead now. He's 7 under right now, 5 under on the day. Eric, you know, he's a guy, Brian Harman is, that that knows how to win major championship golf overseas. He did it a year ago. What do you think of his game overall? I mean, he's a small guy, but he hits the ball a long way.
Yeah, he's tiny, but he's pretty compact with everything, so he gets it done. The Georgia guys, they just know how to play. I don't know what it is over there. I mean, Harris English, too, another bulldog, and he's in there. And so I'm pretty excited about the old – Terrell Rampage hat and being on the leaderboard, which means we get to watch him all weekend. But yeah, it looks like Bryson's trying to make a little run.
And, he is.
And
it wouldn't be a leaderboard, by the way, without Scottie Scheffler, you know, up there as well. I mean, and Jacob, you and I talk about it all the time as far as betting is concerned. I mean, Scottie Scheffler has got to be the prohibitive favorite. I mean, every single tournament that he plays in.
It's hard to make any money with Scottie Scheffler anymore.
Well, yeah, you don't get good odds, but I think even as we look at this major tournament, we all start there. He feels as close as we've had since Tiger to, all right, check the leaderboard, where's Scheffler? And it drawing the general fan probably to the attention. So I would ask you, what is he 5 strokes off right now? 5 strokes off kind of early on in round two. Is that too much for him in this kind of tournament and this kind of course to go make up the ground with 2.5 rounds to play left?
No, I mean, like, he's been there for 2 weeks. He's ready. He's ready to go. And I thought his interview was pretty good when he said, you know, I didn't come over here to just want, if I wanted to come over here and play around and do that, I'd go play some fun courses, but I'm here to prepare and win. So yeah, 5's not that bad. I mean, there's guys at 5, a couple guys at 5, a couple guys. Max Gracerman's already a couple under through 3, so it appears to be out there for him today. I don't know. I haven't looked to see what the forecast is over there, but you know, over there it can get gnarly quick.
Yeah, it changes all the time when you're playing in the Open Championship. I want to go back to something you just mentioned in the interview that Scottie Scheffler had leading up to this tournament. I don't know if we've seen a golfer before Scottie Scheffler be as reflective and kind of deep as he is, and talking about, you know, just like what he's chasing and why he's doing it and you know, the gratification and all of that. I've been trying to rack my brain to think about, you know, like, were there other golfers that were as consistently real on the podium, you know, talking about different things as Scottie Scheffler? What was your takeaway from all the words that he said going into this tournament?
I mean, there is like that 5-minute clip where he talked about his family and perspective and all that. And when I watched it, I was like, that is 180 degrees opposite of what Tiger would have done.
Yeah.
So it kind of tells you the difference of where the culture's going. And I read an article where someone said, that is exactly what Rory McIlroy needed to hear. Like, Rory should have said that a year ago, but he just couldn't bring himself to do it. Now Scotty said it. So I don't know, maybe it frees Rory up, but I thought it was cool. I mean, the guy's he's a family guy, and he's sticking to it. So nobody's going to change him. So
he's also the best golfer in the world.
That helps.
Looking at the odds as he gets ready to tee off soon, like 5 minutes, maybe.
He's
2-1.
Oh my gosh.
Right now, if you want to bet Scottie Scheffler to win this tournament, 4 strokes off the lead, he's 2-1.
Right.
So have fun with that. Nobody's taking that action. What is it? What is the difference? Why does this tournament, which I call the British Open stubbornly, why is it so much different when we watch it than what we get on this side of the pond?
You know, I was thinking about that this morning, and like one thing I really would have loved to seen is Sam Stevens get in. This is like fall Kansas golf, which he's really good at. It would have been fun to see how he played. It's a different thing. I mean, it's wind, it's moisture. The greens are by no means as fast as what they're used to playing. They're undulated. So you got to think your way around it. And that's why guys like Zach Johnson and Brian Harman are so good at it. You don't have to be the bomber, and you don't have to go full Bryson, obviously. If you're hitting it out there and you don't know where it's going, it's going to be penalizing. So it's a good test. I like it.
Talking to Eric Johnson here this morning. Eric, we had gone back and forth, you and I did, about whether or not we should call you our golf insider. And I'm cool with it. I think Jacob's cool with it. You kind of, you didn't really want, you know, I think we should call you the golf insider here on Sports Daily, because you're so connected to the game of golf here in Wichita. Obviously, we know you, Jacob and I do, out at Crestview Country Club. You're right. The major driver in the Augie Navarro Pro-Am. You coach golf at Capen. And then also, you've got Swing 365 here in Wichita. While we've got you for a couple of minutes, if you were just kind of giving an elevator pitch to somebody who has not heard of Swing 365 Golf here in Wichita, what would you tell them?
Well, hopefully my wife's not listening, because she hates this analogy. But I tell the guys I talk to, if you wanted to build a man cave in your basement and be left alone or whatever, that's what we built. So it's 1,500 square feet. It's got swivel chairs. It's got couches, a couch. It's got a bar top. It's got 2 75-inch TVs. It's got a full swing simulator system. The screen's 10 by 16. You know, it's semi-dark. You guys have been there.
We have.
You know, so,
yeah, you were kind enough to grant us a little access there. I went in. I'll tell you what I did. The Rangers were on the West Coast, so I watched baseball. Instead of sitting on my couch watching baseball, I was swinging golf clubs and playing a simulator while watching baseball.
Yeah,
after my kids went to bed, it was great.
Right. So we're open 24/7. There's no staff in the building. It's all remote and T-sheet, and just ask guys, you know, keep it like it's yours. You're a private member. But yeah, you can go in, you can play, you know, there's 50 some courses on there, all the TPC courses. You can just practice, hit some balls, sit down, have a beverage, get back up, hit some more balls, watch some TV. So it's membership based, so you're in there by yourself. There's no one, you know. I respect the guys that are doing it, you know, the shot suites and the other guys. This is just a little different deal. Some guys don't want to practice and fine tune in a group setting. So that's the great thing about it.
I'll tell you what I did yesterday. I had a little bit of time over my lunch hour, and the Open was on, and I went over there. I watched the Open, had a little lunch. And I played 9 holes at Prairie Dunes, which, you know, you can't usually do. And so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've actually got a couple guys that are members that will they actually order or pick up lunch, and they'll meet up there like from noon to 1 and just hang out. They don't even swing a golf club. So it's as a member, it's your place. You can have with it what you want to do with it. So, yeah, that's what we intended. I think that's where our kind of private play and private practice comes. And, you know, Jacob's wife or your wife can go in there and just hang out and read a book. We've had wives just sit in there and read a book and drink a bottle of wine while their husband practices. So you can get a couple members in there. You can play for, you know, your allotted time each. So
my wife would start asking, well, why didn't you hit that one good? What were you doing with that one? That would be a disaster, but an option
for sure. It's on the table.
It's a good date night. I've learned that there's some good date nights happening in there. So I've met some wives that are excited that, hey, we can hang out and it's a good time. So,
well, before we let you go, Eric, real quick, we've got about a minute left. If you had to pick right now, who's your winner for the Open? Do you think Scheffler can get it done across the pond and come back? Do you think that a guy like Brian Harman or Terrell Hatton, I mean, there's a long way to go, but if you had to put a name, who would it be?
I mean, I'd really like to see Justin Rose, but just for the old guys. But man, I don't know. I think McIntyre or Hatton are playing pretty good. The Hogard twins are playing pretty good too. But I mean, you just can't count Scheffler out. I mean, you can't. He's got to be in the mix somewhere, right?
8.5, 12.5 to one on those two guys you just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Rose went to. That was my one.
He's way down. He's way down. And yeah. Harris English just doubled, I think. Oh, so
good. But there's lots of good golf going on. I mean,
Kansas, yeah, they're scoring.
Yeah, there's the Kansas AM's going on up in Topeka. A lot of Wichita guys still in that. So I've been kind of watching that after I missed the cut and came home. So yeah, it'll be there's some Crestview members duking it out today. Cooper Schultz and Colt Farrow. So
Tommy and I will be duking it out at Crestview later this afternoon.
How about the trees? Have you guys seen this?
We have. We're about to get out there and look today.
I think it looks great.
I hope so. I hope so. I hate cutting down trees. Makes me nervous anytime, just because I came from a place that didn't have them.
Yeah, well, I think once you get out there, you'll see like, oh, that tree was kind of messed up. So, the
Eric, visual of it. We appreciate it.
Yeah, guys,
we'll do this on Fridays. Looking forward to it.
All right, see you later.
There goes Eric Johnson. We'll come right back. We'll talk a little more about this Rashi Rice situation and the other headlines around the sports world. Don't go away.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in here to Sports Daily. Glad to have you. We promise no kiss cams here on the show. Could get you into. Have you? I don't know how you would know.
I have. I love those things that just unite the entire world. Yeah. Doesn't matter your politics, doesn't matter your beliefs. It's just, you know, something happens. The last time that happened was the Pope being American. That united everybody. And then now it's Coldplay and a kiss cam. That was the next thing.
We're going to all come together and agree that it's okay to poke a little fun at, and I do feel bad for the family, but you know, a lot of stuff going on in the world when a billionaire gets caught with his HR director side piece at a Coldplay concert. Called out then by Coldplay on camera, we can all agree that's pretty funny.
There's not a lot of things better than that, and I mean it's hilarious. I do feel bad for the wife, you know, the family, all of that for sure, absolutely. But in a bubble by itself, it's pretty funny.
It's good memes. It's good comedy. It's good comedy. All right, let's get back to Rashi Rice, not comedy. Very serious situation. Gets a step that I don't. Boy, I gotta tell you, man, of all the things out of like coming off the top rope, like we had all just sort of come to terms with and conceded that this thing was going to be handled this upcoming offseason and a problem next year. I would tell you this though, if we're looking big picture for the Chiefs, and I don't know how many games he's going to be suspended or anything else. If we're looking at this big picture from the Chiefs, wouldn't you rather have him out part of this year than part of next year? When things are a little more uncertain with, you know, They were able to run it back. We know they have the depth to withstand it this year. Next year, they're probably not going to have Juju. They're probably not going to have Hollywood Brown. They're probably not going to have Travis Kelce. They probably, you know, like, I think if you were going to take your pick, it will be more manageable. And I know this year is right in front of us, so we're focused on it, but that would have been a pretty big, that would have been tough next year.
Yeah, I think the difference is the word, the difference in the words manageable and desirable. It's definitely,
none of it's desirable.
It's definitely more manageable, I think, knowing who you've got in the wide receiver room this year. I also think, you know, the Chiefs, I don't know if they had any indication dating all the way back to the draft that this was going to be resolved legally.
Same thing.
Now, before this season starts. But at the time, I remember when they drafted Jalen Royals, I'm like, man, they're going with another wide receiver early in the draft. And at that time, I didn't connect the dots on, hey, maybe they know that the legal situation with Rashee Rice is going to wrap up during this offseason, and more than likely, Rice is going to serve the suspension this season, and they'd like to have another reinforcement as a wide receiver out of the draft. Maybe they knew that. Maybe they didn't know that. I've got no knowledge one way or the other. But if they did know, it obviously makes a lot more sense that they took a guy like Jalen Royals fairly early in the draft.
I've wondered it too. I've wondered it because we got, you know, an indication that they may have an idea of how much the suspension is going to be. It's strange to me that they already have some expectation. It's also strange to me that Rashee Rice and his legal team wouldn't have known this was coming. You know what I mean? Like, that also seems unlikely. I don't think they woke up yesterday and got a call from the judge or a letter, and it was like, oh, hey, by the way, you've got 5 years probation and 30 days in jail. Doesn't work like that. So they had to have known this. And so, yeah, how long have they known it? How realistic has it been? That made me do the same thing. I was like, well, you know, they did take Royals, and it didn't feel like they needed a wide receiver. So I don't know. I mean, and maybe that's then where we see some of the reporting yesterday, that they have an expectation on a number of games. Maybe this process has been playing out all along. It's one of those, certainly if people aren't asking about it, they're not going to talk about it. But we had all just kind of been like, all right, well, I guess they're going to handle this in January when he goes back to court. So, yeah, they could have been preparing for this for sure. But again, like, and we're not talking about this. We already did that, right? It's a very serious situation. Don't downplay it. It's not worth your time. It's a serious situation. We'll see what he's suspended for. Tommy, he was outstanding in the three games he played last year against the Ravens, the Bengals, the Falcons. He had 29 targets. He had 24 catches in those three games, almost averaged 100 yards a game, and had a couple of touchdowns. Was as good as any receiver in football through the first 3 weeks last year. He is, and I've seen some of the videos from him at camp. Dude is moving fine. He is uniquely talented. I don't want to pretend like it's just like, oh, next man up, replacement value. They'll, you know, I think they certainly lose something with Rashee Rice because he's really, really, really good, and he has a very obvious connection with Patrick Mahomes. But they will be equipped to handle it because they did last year. He got hurt. They, you know, and I don't think they certainly, because they weren't a premier offense most of the season last year, want to come out and be like, oh, we'll just go back to the offense last year. I don't think anybody wants that either. But they've added to that offense through Hollywood Brown, through better left tackle play, hopefully, through maybe a little different role for Travis Kelce and some other things. So it's going to be okay. It really, to me, it feels like just get this over with. Honestly, now, best case for me, the Chiefs on the field, is to just have this right out of the gate. Better than having it next year, better than just get it over with. And then when Rashee Rice comes back after a suspension, they can finally proceed with him on the trajectory to being a really, really good receiver that he was on.
They adjusted and adapted on the fly a season ago with Rashee Rice going down with an injury at week 4, and then didn't have him for the remainder of the season. They also didn't have Hollywood Brown in that moment as well. They adjusted and adapted with no preparation time. They go out and they sign DeAndre Hopkins as a stopgap to try to have an additional wide receiver. They didn't have anybody. Like they were not in a good position, and they still found their way in the Super Bowl. They now, if the Chiefs can get this punishment from the NFL sooner rather than later, then they should have a good amount of time, and I'm sure that they're already game planning for it, and they probably have been, what life without Rashee Rice looks like, and having a longer time to prep and plan for it with presumably a healthy Hollywood Brown, with Xavier Worthy, Jalen Royals, Juju Smith-Schuster, etc. Oh, and Travis Kelce also. They won't have to try to adjust on the fly. They won't have to try to adjust in the moment. They've got training camp. They've got preseason. Before we get into the regular season, they've got time. If they can get this punishment settled and done and ready to go, and Rashee Rice just knows he's going to serve that punishment right away, then they conceivably would have enough time to game plan for it. So I do think it's a different situation than a year ago, and a better situation for the Chiefs than what they encountered a year ago when Rice went down with that injury.
It's a better situation for the Chiefs, too, than a surprise midseason suspension. Certainly better situation than a surprise postseason suspension of some kind. And I do think a better situation than having to deal with it next year when his salary is on the books against the cap and he can't play. So, like, I'm not it's not a good thing that any of this happened. But when you're when we separate the very, very troubling and dangerous and all the things that are the reason he's going to get suspended, when we put that on one side and have two different conversations from a football perspective, I don't think this is the worst situation for the Chiefs. He'll get suspended for the amount of games he's going to get suspended for. That would happen at any point. So again, I still think it's going to be like six, but it could be less. I could be totally wrong on that. It's the timing of it is probably about as good for the Chiefs outside of this dragging into, you know, 2-3 years from now, which was never going to happen. Like, I'm not sure they could have timed it any better to be prepared for it anyway than they will be right now. I'm just going to pull up their schedule.
You better believe also, by the way, that the Chiefs and whether it's Brett Veach or, you know, somebody else, it may have gone all the way up to like a Mark Donovan. I'm sure that they have reached out to the NFL. Now that the legal proceedings are done, I'm sure that they've initiated conversations with the NFL saying, can we expedite this? Let's get this done. We want to get this done now. Because, you know, if that's what the NFL has been waiting on, it is more advantageous to the Chiefs to get the suspension in place and for Rice to serve it right away.
So the Chiefs open, just looking at their schedule, at Chargers, of course, on that Friday, Eagles at home, Giants on the road, Ravens at home, Jags on the road, Lions at home. That's their first six. Obviously, some of your toughest games on your schedule are in there, three of them. Also, two of your easiest games will be on the schedule at that point. They're both road games. So it's fine. I don't think we have to get to that point though with this team this year. I also don't want to downplay, like, could him being gone the first anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks impact their chances at home field advantage? Oh, absolutely it could. You better believe it could. Could he be the difference in a win and a loss early in the season? Absolutely he could. Does that mean maybe the road goes through Baltimore instead of Kansas City? Sure could, because that they play them early in the season. So, you know, all of those things matter and could matter as we get ready to make like season predictions much later on, right? We'll have clarity, I think, on this before we do something like that. But does this impact their overall trajectory for the season? Yeah, it absolutely could.
I don't know if it will though. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay the importance of Rashee Rice because he is your number one receiver and he's got a connection with Patrick Mahomes, as you mentioned, and what he does physically, he's a gifted athlete, all of those different things. So I'm not trying to downplay his impact on the Chiefs and his importance to that roster, but remember they didn't have him for the majority of last season and they still made the Super Bowl. And so, like, will it, I mean, could it impact the trajectory? Absolutely. But will it? I'm not ready to say that because especially knowing that that wide receiver room is deeper and better going into this season, even without him on the field. I almost think it's negligible. It could be negligible. It could impact. But like, I think that there's a scenario where they have, like, if they had Rashee Rice the entire season, the path could still run through Baltimore.
No, right? It could. But like, him not being there when they play the Ravens could definitely have an impact on that at the end of the year. I just mean, like, he's their best receiver. Their ceiling is much, much higher with him on the roster. I say much, much. It's higher with him on the roster than with him out on the with him not being on the roster. Again, if you're the Chiefs, you don't really care. You just want him for the postseason. You don't care where the games are played. They won a Super Bowl 2 years ago on the road. They don't care. They'll go play anybody anywhere. That's what they do. They're not afraid of bad weather. They're not afraid of hostile environments. They just want Rashee Rice there at the end of the season when they're playing playoff games. The off the field part of it is terrible and not good for anybody. The on the field part of it, when you consider all the potential outcomes and scenarios, is certainly not going to be the worst for the Chiefs that it could have been. It could have been in the middle of the season. It could have been toward the end of the season. And to the original point, it could have been into next season, which I think would have been harder to manage than it will be this season. This timing is as manageable as it's going to get. Now we just have to see how long the suspension is. And again, back to the conversation we had in the last hour that we can rehash a little bit. We're going to make a commitment. I am right now, whatever the punishment is, to not try to compare it to other punishments for other things. This was a very serious crime. And I don't want to, if he gets 6 or 8 games, I'm telling you, Chiefs media is going to come out and you're immediately going to start seeing comparisons to other guys who have been in fights and done other things. That's what you're going to see. It's coming if that happens. And I'm going to make a commitment right now not to do that, because it's a different situation and a potentially catastrophic situation. And the reason that it was good fortune, was divine intervention, I don't know. But when you're going 120 miles an hour down one of the busiest highways in the world, making contact with other cars and cause a huge pileup and run away from the wreck for some reason instead of helping people, that is not nothing. It's a very, very, very lucky and serious situation.
The other thing I have to keep keep going back to, I'm not trying to downplay the situation at all, and I understand where you're coming from and all of that. He was a dumb kid. Doesn't excuse it.
They're all dumb kids.
The consequences and the punishment and everything will be well deserved. I did a lot of stupid things when I was 24,
absolutely.
23, 24. Did a lot of stupid things. So I have to put the... I have to put myself in that situation of like, would I have done that at 20? I probably wouldn't have done that, right? Like I wasn't that stupid. But like,
there
are judgment things that when you're a kid and you have access to the kind of luxury vehicles and the kinds of, you know, all the different things that happen when you have money for the first time and you're a kid and you're like, I can't relate to that. I don't know exactly what I would do in that situation. So like, I'm not going to try to sit here and lecture the kid on like, you needed to do it in a better way. And he absolutely should have. He was a kid. He made a really horrible mistake.
I'm not casting judgment on Rashee Rice. I'm not. I did plenty of stupid stuff too. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the law says it was very serious. Felonies, things like that. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and make any public opinion about Rashee Rice. I've never met Rashee Rice. I made lots of stupid decisions. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, yeah, he was a kid. It doesn't matter. It was a very serious situation.
It absolutely was.
Now is not the time to say, come on, league, you only suspended this guy for this long. Like, no. This was very dangerous. And the consequences are separate from what we think, to me, what we think about Rushy Rice, because by and large, he's done all the right things since.
I mean, how many times in your youth did you make a decision or be involved in a situation that you look back on now and you're like, that could have been catastrophic. Lots. Like there have been a lot of them for me where it's like divine intervention. Like, man, how did I not get 100%. Arrested or how did I not get killed or seriously hurt?
And that's not what I'm saying, because consequences are very real. I mean, they are even with those stupid decisions. So if I made lots of them and got in trouble, I'm not going to blame, you know, what the rules are for me getting in trouble. I got in trouble. I made a bad decision. He made a bad decision and he's going to have to face whatever that is. But let's not get mad at the NFL if they're harsh in their penalty, not because he's a young kid and young kids don't make mistakes. Of course they do. Of course we all do. But because the situation was very serious, a lot of people's lives are forever affected and they almost died. Like, you can't, if you're a league and you're trying to set values and set precedents for people to not make bad decisions, why do you ground your kids? Why do you punish your kids? It's not because you enjoy it. It's because you hope they don't do it again. Or you hope their little brother or sister doesn't follow up and make the same bad choice. Nobody likes it. It's not fun. You don't punish your kids for lying because you've never lied in your life. You punish them because you don't want them to lie anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to downplay the situation. I'm not. Because some other player got punished XYZ for some other thing that they did. We are joined now as we get ready for the NBC World Series by Katie Woods of the NBC World Series. Katie, you guys ready for this thing?
As ready as we're going to be, except I still need three teams to qualify. So once I have that, then we'll be ready to go.
You need Tommy and I to get it, to get the guys together.
I'll give you a call if we get to that point.
Okay, good. I hope that you don't.
Yeah. Nobody would.
We've got three leagues that are just really close, and so we're waiting to see who wins it.
Yeah, it's always such a fun environment and a fun week and a half or 2 weeks of baseball, and definitely something that I know that the city of Wichita and the surrounding area just has always gotten behind, the legacy and the longevity and everything in the tournament. You guys are, you know, in a position now where definitely feel like that momentum is continuing to grow, and you've got so much support around the community. What has the planning been like getting ready for this year's tournament?
It's been fun. This has been a really busy year for us. You know, we're now an independent nonprofit. So that means we built a whole new board. We moved into new offices in Clifton Square. And then last year we brought back baseball around the clock. We have an Alaska team coming back. And so it is, I think, just a ton of great momentum and a lot of things that are new, but also a lot of things that people love from the past.
Well, a lot of things from the past, you know, baseball around the clock, you mentioned. A return to, you know, to a partnership to downtown Wichita, I think is something people are excited about. But I agree, it does kind of have this classic vibe to it this year that I think is welcome return for fans.
Yeah, I think there's so much tradition in it. And I think that a lot of it, for a while, it was kind of like, that's what we used to do. And now it's, how do we do that now and honor all that history and that tradition? And we just were looking, you know, the NBC uses red, white, and blue bases. And we looked back and it looks like they've done that since at least 1975. So 50 years we've been doing red, white, and blue bases. What makes the NBC unique? And it's all about Wichita.
Yeah, and you know, you get a chance to use, you know, multiple venues now around Wichita. Of course, X Stadium, it's been the home for the last couple of years, right? Just the permanent home for the NBC World Series. But championship baseball back downtown at Equity Bank Park. What has that development been like working with the team over there at the ballpark and the Wind Surge?
Yeah, it's been great working with the Wind Surge this year. You know, I think they really understand the history, or have come to really understand the history and the tradition of the NBC. I mean, the reason Lawrence Dumont Stadium was built originally was for the NBC World Series in 1935. So being downtown is a big part of the NBC history, and working with the Wind Surge to get that August 2nd championship night down there has been great.
What do we expect in baseball around the clock this year? It was good to see it back. What kind of reaction did you have to its return? What are your expectations for it now?
Yeah, we had, I think, about 170 people who did it last year, not who survived, but who attempted to survive. And so I think the momentum's a lot bigger this year. So we're expecting that to be big and busy. And a lot of You know, we started to kind of explain to people like summer camp. This is like your lock-in overnight camping. It's really family friendly. We've got prizes all night, games going on, arts and crafts tables. It's almost like summer camp. And so I think people have started to kind of go, okay, I get this. This is like camping in my backyard, but with prizes and baseball.
You know, baseball around the clock, as a kid growing up here in Wichita, I mean, that was such a big event every single year. And that's what you thought of when you thought of the NBC World Series. That was one major thing. But then the other thing, and you mentioned it a moment ago, Katie, with the Alaska team that is back. It was so cool to go to the tournament and see teams from California and Alaska. And it seemed like they were coming from all over the place to play in this tournament. And the fact that now there's an Alaska team back in the tournament, what has that been like?
It's been great. I mean, I do think Alaska is a big, that's just a name for people. And having the Gold Panners back is great. And I think we've also got, like you were saying, teams from Seattle, from San Diego, from Santa Barbara. And then all of those players come from all over the place. Like last time I looked at the Foresters roster, I think they've got four players from the University of Texas who are going to be on their roster. So having players from across the country and these teams from across the country with their goal being to come play in Wichita at the NBC World Series, it's just, I think, speaks to what a big event this is, how special it is in that summer collegiate baseball world.
Well, let's talk about the business here. July 24th, this thing gets underway. It goes through August 2nd. People can get tickets. What is the best way to get tickets? What are the different ways people can get tickets and what kinds of, you know, tickets are out there?
Yeah, so our tickets are all of our tickets are all day tickets. So some days, actually a lot of days, we've got four games a day. So all of our tickets are all day. Tickets start at $12, and that's for general admission, and general admission at, or $15 if you want the lower GA. So those are really our big price points to make it where it's affordable for families to come in and be there the whole time. And we also are partnering with Shields. We have a free kids club. So kids can sign up on our website, nbcbaseball.com, get a wristband from Shields, you know, one of those Livestrong bands, and then they're free for the entire tournament. Because for us, it's a really big deal to make sure that the next generation becomes NBC fans and they get to experience it. They get to see all these players live and in action. So for a family, that's definitely what we recommend is the kids club and then $12 tickets for mom and dad.
That sounds good. NBCBaseball.com. That'd be next Friday. You got a week here.
Next Thursday is opening day.
That's right.
I know.
It's next Thursday through. It's an adventure. Go do the all day baseball thing. Go
it's
do the
so job. Much it's fun.
Baseball around the clock.
So give much fun.
Yeah, just to say you did. Just to say you tried it.
We can all do it once, right? All right, Katie. We appreciate it. Go get your tickets. NBCBaseball.com. It'll be here before we know it.
Thanks for having me.
There goes Katie Woods, the NBC World Series. Glad that event is getting back downtown. Glad baseball around the clock is back. It's starting to feel, you know, I think for some people, maybe what it felt like all those years, all the history of that tournament, all the great players that have come through. So glad to see it back. We're, yeah, 6 days. 6 days away.
Man,
and we got the TBT coming to Coke tonight. We go through this stretch, Tommy, of the All-Star break, those 2 days, and then it's just, it's boom, it's TBT, it's NBC World Series. Training camp starts next week. We'll have preseason football. We got preseason football in like 11 days, I think.
Isn't there a game in July? The Hall of Fame game is like the last day of July.
Man, here we go. Here we go. Meanwhile, you and I are going to be out there hacking it a little bit. We're going to play our friends at Crestview Country Club. We're getting out there today. Eric Johnson mentioned those trees. I drove by yesterday and still saw some orange stripes. I know they'll still be doing the work while they're out there. What happens if we hit a tree that's being cut down? What are the rules on that, Tommy? I'm going to have lots of questions today. Play it as it lies, shooter.
Play it as it lies. That's what you got to do.
I had to do that. You remember the last time we played? I was in the I don't know what you would qualify that as. I think I got a tick. But I was in the high grass with my back up against a tree and hit it like 8 feet. Not taking that penalty though.
The best way to avoid that is don't hit it there.
Yeah. Hit it on the fairway.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know what? I'm going to try that today.
I think you should. About that. I think you should. Hey, by the way, while we're talking golf, we can't get through the show without the Friday Fit here on a Friday. I'm rocking the 3570 Golf Co. Shirt. This is the spicy lemonade shirt. You'll be able to see it up close when we're golfing out at Crestview today. But it's got Great design, and that's all of the apparel designs from 3570 Golf Co. Embodies this part of the country, the heartland, all of that. You can check out all their selection of shirts and hoodies and head covers and pullovers and everything that they've got, 35x70golfco.com. If you use the promo code Tommy, you'll get 10% off your first order.
There you go. Which one is that one that you got on?
The spicy lemonade. It's got glasses of lemonade on it and some jalapeno peppers.
There you go. Spicy lemonade. That's pretty good. I like it. Yeah, their stuff is really cool. I still have my ball in that maroon shirt. It reminds me of my alma mater, the Buffaloes. It's a maroon shirt with buffaloes on it. What's holding me back? I don't know. All right, Tommy, we get baseball today with the Royals. We can finish there on the show. Series against the Marlins. We don't know the starters, technically speaking, yet. I don't think the Royals have officially put that out. We expect Lugo to go tonight against Sandy Alcantara, which is kind of interesting because there was a time where it's like Alcantara is going to be the best pitcher on the market. And I'm like, dude has like a 7.50 ERA. I don't know that there has ever been a more overrated pitcher than Sandy Alcantara. But that's who they'll go again. Watch him, you know, blank the Royals through seven. But he is here. Here is what he's given up in his last three starts, Tommy. Against, he's given up 7 runs in 6 innings, 5 runs in 6 innings, 6 runs in 5 innings over his last three. The two before that, he gave up 2 and 3 runs. He has crooked number. He has one start this year, one start where he hasn't given up at least 2 runs. And it's most of the time much worse than that. This is a gettable pitcher for the offense. They also, the Marlins, leave him in, right? They just leave him out there. Go score some runs. Now's the time.
This is the game that he would pitch a shutout through 7 innings or whatever, right?
I know it's coming, but man, like most overrated pitcher ever is Sandy Alcantara. I don't know why. Like I didn't intend ever? To like, go on a rant here. There were when the trade deadline stuff started coming out, he was being heralded as this highly desirable guy to go trade for. And I'm sitting here looking at Lugo further down and I'm like, what is it with him that has everybody so enamored?
I think people think that Alcantara has really good stuff. And I think generally speaking, he has pretty good stuff, but he's on a bad team. He doesn't get any kind of help. But I'm telling you what I think. People seeing him. I'm not saying I believe that because I do think he's overrated. I don't know if I would call him the most overrated pitcher of all time.
He's got a 7.22 ERA.
You're right. He's overrated, but I don't think he's the most overrated ever. I think there are plenty of overrated pitchers in the history of the of baseball going back 150 years that I would put on that list ahead of a guy like Sandy Alcantara.
Well, he's not the worst pitcher that's ever pitched, but boy, is he valued highly. He was good early in his career. He had about a 3 or 4 year stretch where he was good. But to still pretend like he's on a bad team.
He's on a really bad team.
A bad team doesn't mean anything to a 7.22 ERA. You can look at a win loss record, but a 1.50 WHIP and a 7.22 ERA has nothing to do with a lack of offensive support behind him. Anyway, this is not intended to be a Sandy Alcantara conversation. Most people out there don't care who Sandy Alcantara is. He's a pitcher that the Royals can go hit. He has not been good lately. He has not been good all year. And the Royals have an opportunity as they have hit the ball better in July. There is a little danger. Like, I don't like that this team hit the All-Star break when it hit the All-Star break, Tommy, because they were finally heating up. And now it's like, now you got to go take 5 days off. I hope that that doesn't impact the way they were swinging it in July. That's going to suck if so. All right, that'll do it for us. We're going to have more on this Rashi Rice situation soon, maybe as soon as next week. It'll be curious, Tommy, to see just how fast if the NFL had this locked and loaded. But we'll have that next week. We'll also have whatever the Royals do this weekend. All the games, you'll hear them right here on KFH. Tommy, I'll see you out at the golf course here in just a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And, we've got Seth Lugo and Sandy Alcantara dueling tonight. We'll see how that matchup goes.
Thanks to Max. Thanks to Tommy. Thanks for Katie Woods of the NBC. Thanks to Eric Johnson, our new golf insider of Swing 365. We're looking forward to those conversations throughout the season. We'll see you all back here on Monday.